They're like, I'm just being dragged along to what mom and dad want to do.
Oh, man. If my kids said that after I took them to Europe, I would be livid.
But I don't know that they would say it, but it might be in their head.
No, but it might be in their head. But yeah. If they said that out loud, I would blow a gasket.
Yes. Well, no one has said that.
And no one has.
And they wouldn't because we had them in the plane.
Yeah. Hello, this is Darren.
And this is Paige.
And this is
Where's the Lemonade?
Where we talk about what happens when life throws you lemons.
Make some lemonade?
Maybe. Some weeks it's lemon squares.
Yeah, some weeks it's just lemons.
Yeah. On today's episode,
traveling to Europe with teens.
Boy, our kids are spoiled rotten.
That is a fact. Our younger kids, sometimes our older kids are still like, I can't believe that the younger kids get to do what they do.
So last year for spring break, we took the three amigos, the three youngest, on a spring break trip to Italy, of all places.
We did. We kind of let Madeline pick because that was her last spring break.
So that was her senior year.
Yep, that was her senior year. So she chose Italy. And that's where we went with the three amigos.
And that was a lot of fun. We did it kind of on the cheap. We did an Airbnb out in the country, and we used points. Same sort of thing for Sam. For Sam, spring break by himself, no siblings with him, and he wanted to go to London and Paris.
Yes.
I can't even imagine. As kids at 18, could you imagine your parents going, hey, we're going to take you to London and Paris?
No. But I did go when I was 15. My parents took me to Hawaii because my dad had a work thing there. That was my highlight. I was 15.
So are we indulging our kids too much? Is that a thing?
I don't know. Are we?
Yes.
I think our older kids would say yes.
Yes, our older kids would say yes.
Yeah, my older kids would be like, I got a backpack my senior year for graduation.
That's right. Yeah, they did, didn't they? That's about what they got.
Yeah, well, times change, guys. Times change.
It is. Now, when we went on our trip to Italy, it was fascinating watching the three amigos. Madeline is probably the most moderate of all the kids. Everything was in moderation.
Yep.
I want to go to the museums. It was fun. I've had enough of the museums. Let's go back to the Airbnb and chill.
Yeah.
Or look at the countryside. Sam was like, I need to read every single plaque in front of every single photo or painting or sculpture in every museum that we walk by.
Well, and he wanted to be gone. He was like, we're in Italy. We need to be gone from 8 a.m. in the morning until 10 at night. Because why would we just sit at the Airbnb? We're in Italy. So that was Sam.
That was Sam. And David was, we have to leave the Airbnb.
Why? I just want to play on my Switch.
I just want to play on my Switch.
And in Italy.
In Italy.
Why do we need to leave and go anywhere? I don't understand.
I think part of that was their age. I think part of it was their age. And then also it is their personalities as well.
It is their personality. I mean, it really is. David is a homebody. He would rather be at home and go do things with his friends and play some video games than go to a foreign country, honestly.
I totally agree.
So it was a different trip. Their energy is different. You know what I mean? Like their personalities were different. So that was a very different trip trying to manage and please
three teenagers.
That was a challenging trip for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this trip with Sam, much easier because we only had to please one person, not
three.
Oh,
but he run us ragged.
he thinks that's hilarious when we say that. He's like, what do you mean I ran you ragged? Like, we didn't do anything. Like, we weren't running a marathon. We weren't... You know, but we would be gone from
8 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, we would meet for breakfast at 8:30, leave the hotel by 9. This was almost every single day. And we would get back at like 11:30 at night.
Yeah. And he was like, okay, that was good. That was an okay day.
I know. We're exhausted. And he's like, why? we wanted a nap
at 3:30, 4
o'clock.
We wanted
a nap. We did get a nap on one day. We got a nap. But
well, that's because we woke up at 4 a.m. to go catch a train.
Yeah. We did get it now.
But hey, you did some investigation on...
Investigation.
Well, you're our research arm of our corporation here.
I did. I did some research into getting some tips for traveling with teens.
And we did pretty good.
I think we did pretty good. We did a lot of the things that were in the articles about tips. So, and there was a couple that we didn't do, but maybe we didn't need to. Anyway, we can talk about our tips and trips.
Yeah, so let's first
our tips and trips. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. Tips and tips, trips. Now we can't even talk.
Tips and tricks.
And tricks.
Yes.
One of the first things, and we did pretty well with this, was your teenager needs to be involved in what's going on the trip. So ask them, what do you want to do in these cities? And most of the time, Sam didn't know what was even available.
Yeah.
So we had to sit down with them. And that was kind of fun. Sit down and says, well, there's this. And this is what happened at that location. When you travel in Europe, it's all about history.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really important, especially now for us, we had already been to both of these places multiple times. So it might have been a different trip if it was all of our first time. Do you know what I mean?
No, I agree.
So because we had done all the things, you know, most of the things, we had done most of them already, we really were letting Sam run with it and go, what do you want to do? Because
we suggested some things.
Yeah,
we
of really course. Did. Because he didn't, like, it's not like he knows to go to this museum.
Do or you know the Tower I mean? Of London.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we were like, do you want to go to the Victoria and Albert Museum? He's like, I've never heard of it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Of course, things like that. But it's really, really important to have your teens involved. If you just say, I think if you just say, here's your itinerary, this is what we're doing, I think that's a mistake.
I do too, because then the kids haven't bought into it.
Right. They're right. Like, I'm just being dragged along to what mom and dad want to do.
Oh man, if my kids said that after I took them to Europe, I would be livid.
But I don't know that they would say it, but it might be in their head.
No, but it might be in their head. But yeah. If they said that out loud, I would blow a gasket.
Yes. Well, no one has said that.
And no one has.
And they wouldn't because we had them in the plan.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's a tip for you right there. Don't plan your trip for your teen. If you're taking a teen on a trip, get them involved. Show them what it's kind of like. Oh, if you want to do that, then we have to rent a car. We're going to have to take the a train or the subway or buses, whatever. Just get them involved and see how much it really is. And they'll buy into it. They'll be a part of it.
Well, and give them options, right? You don't have to go, okay, tell me what you want to do on Tuesday in London. Well, they're a teen. So guess what? Especially if it's a boy teen, they're not going to look up what to do. They're going to be like, I don't know what's there to do. If it was a girl, she might research it and come and tell you.
Okay, now we did have two girls. Rachel loves Paris. So she knew everything we wanted to do when we took her to Paris.
Yep.
Julianne, she knew everything she wanted to do.
Yep.
Madeline, when we went to Italy, she knew everything she wanted to do. So you're right.
And Amanda, when Amanda was with us, she knew what she wanted to do. When we took our three girls, we let them each pick a day, and a day was theirs. They could plan it however they wanted, and that was great.
Yes, that worked out.
That worked out great. So give them options. Say, okay, and we did that too. We were like, okay, Sam, on this day, we're going to go to the Tower of London. Then after that, we could do this or this, or we could do this or this.
Five or six different things nearby.
Right.
This is what each portrays. Yep. And guess what? We didn't even, we made adjustments even on the trip.
Oh, yeah.
So having flexibility, not over planning everything.
Do not over plan.
Yeah, because you don't know how long the lines are going to be.
No, don't over plan. And you want to have some flexibility. If you see something and you go, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah.
You want to have some flexibility. So I'm a big fan of, yes, having something planned every day, like we do. We have something planned every day. We have an area that we're going to be every day. But have some flexibility of if that you see something. But, you know,
do your research up front.
Do your research. Obviously, like, the kids are not going to be much in the planning of the hotels or the rental cars or the transportation. But talk to them. I mean, if you're going to, like, a tropical place, maybe they want to sit on the beach rather than go to the museum. And you might have to compromise. If they go, I just want to sit on the beach the whole time, you can go, well, how about if you sit on the beach 2 days and then 2 days we do some other thing, right? You got to compromise so that everybody's getting the trip that they want.
Right. Or sit on the beach when the weather's nice and when it's not, maybe in the afternoons we go to museums or whatever.
Right. So just make sure, like, if your teen is like, I just want to sit on the beach the whole time, maybe, and you're like, no, that's not what we're doing, you might be planning the wrong trip. Maybe you need to be going on a trip with just your spouse and not take your teens on the, you know what I mean? You need, make sure you're planning the right trip for your teen and yourself.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. The next tip here, I really like this one. And we actually did this one and I didn't even know about this tip. And that is let your child, your teenager, explore a little bit on their own.
Yeah.
Right? Within reason, right?
Within reason, of course. And of course, we're saying teens. Like, we're not talking about
10-year-olds
or even 12-year-olds. But 16 and up, I think that, you know, they can explore a little bit on their own, especially in certain areas.
Yeah. So the first time I experienced this is when I actually had a business trip to Japan. And I took Jacob with me. Jacob was 18 at the time, just turned 18. And I said, well, you know, I got 3 days of meetings. I know you can see Japan. We can go and tour things. What do you want to do? And he goes, I'm going to take the subway. I'm going to tour Tokyo myself as an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And he did wonderfully. I don't know that I would do that in other countries in Europe, just send an 18-year-old out on their own.
Yeah, you definitely have to look at the
at the
place
area.
That, yep.
But with Sam, when we were in the museums, we did not say, you have to stay with us.
No.
He kind of explored on his own, and there were a couple of times where we go, oh man, where is Sam?
I know, we did. We were like, and we would get on our Life 360 and be like, okay, he's in this area over here.
So we knew he was at least in the building. But that was great, because then you're not pushing your child to either stay with you, or for the case of Sam, we're like, he wants to read everything. I don't want to read everything.
Right, exactly.
So we would find a nice place to sit down and relax a little bit. And Sam was just enthralled in everything going on in the museum. So that worked out really well for us, that he didn't feel pressured and we didn't feel like we were nagging him.
Right. And I highly recommend, and so does Rick Steves, when you go to a museum, get the audio guide. I saw so many people that didn't have the audio guide at so many places we went to, and I was like, it's literally, if you're spending the money to go on a trip to Europe, I promise you, you can afford the €3 or the £3 in, you know, both places we went to, euros and pounds. I promise you can afford that.
If you went to
Europe, you can afford to get the audio guide.
No, we made a mistake. Because
we did make a mistake.
We did. So Sam is a visual learner, not an auditory learner.
Yeah. He likes to read it all.
He likes to read it all. Yep. David is an auditory learner.
Right.
So is Madeline. And so, but we got the audio guide anyway, because what we found was the audio guide has more content than the plaques.
Yes,
in front of things.
Yep.
And for good reason. It's expensive to print the plaques in all these different languages and all that. So it was our last day, right? It was, we were in Windsor.
Yep.
And Sam said, I don't need an audio guide. I just will read the plaques.
We had been to so many places that we had listened to the audio guide. He was just like, I'm done with the audio guide. I'm just going to read the plaques. And we're like, okay. Yeah. Even though you and I have been to Windsor multiple times.
Yeah, four times now.
I think this was my third time. I think it's your fourth time.
Still love it.
Yeah, still love it. It's still almost brand new to me. And we were like, yeah, we'll just read the plaques. There are no plaques at Windsor, people.
So here's
zero.
Here's your big, huge tip. If you're in Windsor, get the audio guide.
Get the audio guide.
Because there is no plaques. I was just reading the little kind of plaque at the bottom of each of the...
Like a painting?
Painting. And then I was looking it up on my phone and go, oh, Charles VI or Charles V. I know that story now because I had to look
it up. It was a big mistake, but Sam was just like, I'm done. But there were no plaques. So that was a little mistake that we made, but he was just so done. And when we got done with it, he was like, well, that was kind of a mistake. I'm like, yeah, it was. But
you know what? We got through Windsor in record time.
We sure did, because we weren't listening to anything.
The one thing that shocked me the most was how long some of the things take. You forget, even though we've been there before. One of the things that we did, which still boggles my mind, and it's great to go there, it is the Harry Potter soundstage.
Yeah. Kids love it.
The kids love it.
Actually, I love it. I think
it's super cool.
It's really cool.
But you put that right up there with the Tower of London or Windsor and the history behind that. And it's funny that it's such a big draw.
Yeah.
And Sam spent more time in there.
Oh, he loved it.
We were there for almost five hours.
He absolutely loved it. Okay, but back to one more thing about letting them explore on their own.
Okay.
So we went to the Eiffel Tower, and I had not done my research because I was supposed to plan a lot of these things. You have to, but if you just FYI, if you want to go up in the Eiffel Tower, you have to book that months in advance.
Yeah, 3 or 4 months.
Months. So I looked about 2 months before we went. Everything was sold out. So I was like, you know what? Oh, well, we're going to go to the Eiffel Tower. We're going to see it. He doesn't need to go up in it. Well, you can buy, when you're there, you can buy the tickets to go to walk up. And Sam wanted to do that. He was like, well, I want to do that. And we were like,
go for
it. Awesome. Bye bye.
We sat at a little cafe and had right underneath the Eiffel Tower, there's a couple food trucks, for no better word. And so we just sat there and we had a little.
We had a hot chocolate.
A croissant, and talked to this couple from Ottawa. It was lovely talking to them. And Sam sent us pictures from.
Yeah. Sam went up and he loved it. And that was okay. That was okay to send him up on his own.
Yeah.
And it was great because later that day, he wanted to go up into the Arc de Triomphe, which is no slacker on the stairs. That was like 267 stairs. So we were glad we hadn't done the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, that would have killed us completely.
That would have killed us to do both. So anyway, so don't be afraid to let them do a few things on their own within reason.
Yeah. And most of the places are pretty safe in Europe and in parts of Asia.
Yep. All right, next one. Now, some people might disagree with this. To make sure that, I mean, and it's not a make sure. Hopefully, whatever hotel or Airbnb you're staying at has Wi-Fi. And I think you should make sure you have an international plan on your phone. Now, some people might be going, why? You're going to Europe. Why does your kid need to be on their phone? You know what, people? That is just the reality of the world that we live in, right? Like, and yes, does there need to be a balance? Absolutely. Like, there was a couple times that we were like, Sam, stop looking at your phone and look out the window, right? But we only had to say that, I think, once or twice. And then he was like, looking out the window, because I was like, you are in Paris, you are in London. And I think we only had to say it once or twice. Yeah. But they need to still be able to send pictures to their friends and stay in contact with their friends.
But I think even more important than that is a safety thing.
Yeah, of course.
Right. If you do get separated or anything, they have a way of contacting you and calling you. If you do use things like Life 360, which we did, we could see where he was at if we got separated.
Of course, it wasn't always very accurate. There was one morning Sam was not answering. We were supposed to meet for breakfast. He wasn't answering his phone. We called him on the hotel phone. He wasn't answering. We went and knocked on the door. He wasn't answering. And so we're like, well, maybe he decided to get up and go explore. And we're looking at Life 360 and he's here, he's there, he's here, he's there. It's bouncing. We're like, what? So he was in.
And then we noticed I was bouncing around too.
Yes.
So he
was in his hotel room just taking a shower. So.
And that was one thing that kind of threw us off. Sam can sleep through alarms like there's no tomorrow.
In fact,
I don't know how he's going to survive in college.
He can.
We'll see. So there were a couple of times where I had to go wake him up,
pounding
on his door.
Because he was in his own hotel room the entire time.
Yeah.
Yep. He had his own hotel room, which there was one time he had a huge hotel room. And I was like, too bad you don't have any friends here, because it was.
Yeah, I got an upgrade
it was
to his room, which was hilarious.
But I think to say like, hey, you're not going to use your phone the whole time we're gone, or you're not going to contact your friends, or you're not going to play a video game the whole time you're gone, I feel like that's a little extreme. And so for us, when we got back at night to our hotel room at 11:30, Sam, he would play on his Switch or text his friends.
It was funny because he played a couple online games with his friends at midnight, because it was only like 2 in the afternoon right. back here. Yeah. So.
And that was fine. That was him winding down at the end of the day.
Yep.
It was fine, right?
But like you said, make sure that they are experiencing where they're at. And we did have to tell Sam a couple times, hey, put your phone down. We're driving through the countryside. Or we took the Eurostar from Paris to London. And I said, isn't this absolutely gorgeous? The countryside of France is absolutely gorgeous. And I kept hitting him and saying, look.
Right. Yeah, you couldn't say too much because you kept falling asleep.
That's part of it. When I woke up, I'd say, look, Sam.
Yeah, exactly. When you woke up.
So the next one is if they start getting homesick. Now, this can happen, absolutely, because things are different.
Very different.
Than what they're used to. The food, the culture, the smells, transportation, all that stuff is
different. Yeah, I mean, most people are used to living in a suburb, right? And here we are in these big cities. We're taking the tube everywhere. Sam got pretty good at that.
Yeah,
he got pretty good at being able to direct us. We need to take the green line to the red line to the, you know, to get here and there. And
let them, that's a great tip.
Yeah.
Show them a couple times and then let them and even force them to do it.
We did that a few times. We said, okay, Sam, you know, take us to the theater and he would figure it out. Yeah. But if they do start to get homesick, we didn't have this experience.
Not this time.
With Sam. But if they do, they recommended in some of the articles that to maybe watch something familiar. So maybe you get together in a hotel room and you watch, you know, a show that you would normally watch at home, right? Just to bring it back to something they're familiar with.
Like The Rookie. That's our show right now.
That's our show right now. But yeah, just let them watch something that makes them feel good. You know, let them play their video game. Just let them wind down and just let them do something familiar so that they aren't.
Yeah, because you don't want that homesickness to last multiple days.
Exactly.
And impede on your trip and
exactly.
your
fun. Yeah.
Okay. The next thing, one of the things we enjoy the most in these countries is eating.
Yes. This is one of the reasons we travel is to try the food.
Oh, and there's lots of really interesting things, especially in big cities like London, where there's so many different cultures that have just come into London. Lots of different really cool places that you can eat. Do your homework ahead of time and let your child make some decisions around eating. And if you had traveled with multiple kids, and some friends of ours did this, they couldn't get the kids to agree in the moment, so they ate at Five Guys.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? No one's going to agree. Guess what I'm looking at right now? Across the street is the Five Guys. That's where we're going. So, yeah.
And as they said,
they paid
twice as much as what they needed to. But so give an assignment to hey, you're choosing the dinner tonight.
Yes, that's
whatever
a good
you want to do. Here's the general area we're going to be. And it works out.
That can literally be one of the most stressful parts of the trip is deciding where to eat every single day.
Yeah.
Usually breakfast is at your hotel, but lunch and dinner, it gets to be hard. You don't know. It's unfamiliar to you. So you can look online. This place has 5-star. You know what I mean? You just don't know. And trying to choose that every single day, multiple times a day, gets stressful. So we had Sam help us out. On multiple occasions, we would say, Sam, we would say, what kind of food do you want? He'd be like, Thai food. So then we'll find a Thai restaurant, right? He wanted Indian food. We had Thai food.
Great Indian food.
We had African food. He wanted to eat an African
restaurant.
Yeah, that
one had me a little bit concerned because we were out at Stonehenge and we were driving back towards Heathrow because we were leaving the next morning. We were staying out by the airport. And I said, okay, Sam, find something near Heathrow. And he goes, I want to try African food. I said,
awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
Then the place he picked was kind of in the ghetto part of
it was. When
London.
We were getting closer, I was like, do we want to eat here? But
it was wonderful.
It was so, the people were so nice. Everyone in the restaurant was so nice. The food was so good. So don't judge a book by its cover. Right? Because if he wouldn't have looked that up online, we would have driven by that restaurant and went, nope.
Oh, yeah.
But he looked it up and, you know, it had great reviews. And so we went, even though it did not have curb appeal.
No, it did not. But that goes into another thing. Use Yelp or use Google.
Yes.
Look at what people are saying about it. And look at a couple of reviews and it's good to at least, you know, explore different things. Remember, you're in a different country. Food's going to be different. So explore different things. Yep. Don't just find the nearest McDonald's.
No.
Which sure. exists everywhere.
Everywhere. And yeah, Burger King, pizza, it's everywhere. But if you help them pick out restaurants, if they help you pick out where you're going to eat, then they can't blame you. Like if they're like, you know, the food we had was great. Guess what? You picked this restaurant. So that's another reason why you have them help you choose restaurants.
But also, don't complain. If they pick a restaurant that kind of went south, don't complain.
Don't complain. No.
Right? I mean, because all you're doing is you're just telling them that you're not smart enough to choose.
Right.
They already know.
Well, and be a good example. You don't just like you don't want them complaining every time you eat someplace. Like, just be the good example, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, last one.
Okay, this one we actually did.
We had a lot of fun doing this. Yeah, discuss at the end of each day what they liked, what they didn't like. So, you know, when you're maybe at dinner or, you know, on the way back from your play or whatever, and
or you're heading back to the hotel.
Or you can talk about it at breakfast the next day, right? The next breakfast, say, hey, how was your day yesterday? And find out what they liked, what they didn't like, and you may need to change course. You may need to go, you know, if they're like, you know, I really have not enjoyed, you know, riding the tube, or I really haven't enjoyed, you know, eating at these places, or I really haven't enjoyed going to these museums. You may have to change up your trip a little bit. That's okay. But yeah, but we did that. We would say, all right, what was the best thing we did yesterday?
Well, and we did kind of make some adjustments to based off of the things that we saw. Also, weather is a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
So check the weather, make sure before you leave, right? Yep. Check the weather, make sure that you have, especially in the spring and the fall when weather is changing, make sure you have the type of clothing that you need. And then every morning when you leave, you may have to adjust when you're going to go do certain things based off of the weather, which
we did.
We did.
We did. We were like, okay, between 10 and noon, it's going to be pouring rain. So let's do this instead of that. You know what I mean?
Let's be inside somewhere.
Yeah. You may have to check. But overall, our trip was great. Sam was a great traveler.
He wore us ragged.
He did. He wore us out, but he was great. Never complained one time about anything. Just was excited to be there.
Yeah. A great trip. Check out on our YouTube channel. We'll put a couple tips and tricks that we learned, especially in the Louvre. We ran around a little crazy in the Louvre. We found some back doors to help you get in faster. Some really interesting things. So check out our YouTube channel for some of those travel tip shorts. Okay, our lemonade moment of the week.
Madeline's home. Yay!
Madeline's been off at college for the last 9 months.
Oh.
And she's home for the summer to work all summer long.
I'm so glad.
I don't know if the boys are all that glad.
The boys are glad and not glad. I'm just glad because it's nice to have a conversation with a
female again?
A teenager that actually wants to have a conversation with me and that gives me more than 3 words. So I am loving it.
Well, you and Madeline are pretty close.
So. Yes, we are. And so I say it's all lemonade that she's home. There's no lemons, but the boys might say there's a little bit of lemons.
Well, some of the lemons are Madeline's working, so she needs transportation. We have 2 cars and 3 teenagers.
And one of those cars is a stick shift that only one of the teenagers knows how to drive. So we have to remedy that. There's some things we got to work on.
Yeah. I need my other 2 teenage drivers to learn to drive stick.
Yes.
But
I had a little chat with the boys last night and I said, listen, those cars are not your cars. Those are family cars that Dad and I own that we are letting the family use. Now that Madeline is back, do not be upset with Madeline for her needing a car. You two are going to be coming back from college as well and needing. So I said, we're all going to work this out and it's not Madeline's fault. We're all going to work it out. We have 3 people and 2 cars and we're going to work it out. And it might be a day by day basis. And Madeline might go, I need to take you to school or I need to take you to work, right? We'll work it out every day, but we will work it out. And they seem to be fine.
Well, and I think we should step back and let them work it out.
Yeah.
And just say, 3 people, 2 cars, you guys.
But like I said, right now, there's only 1 car that Madeline can drive.
Yeah,
because she doesn't know how to drive stick. So we need to work on that.
I'll be doing some teaching for sure. I'm going to be happy when they're gone because we got our new insurance adjustment today. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, we won't talk about that. But insuring three teenage drivers costs a lot of money.
Yes, especially when one of those drivers
had a little accident.
Yeah.
So
let's not talk about it.
No, let's not talk about it.
If you like today's episode,
give us 5 stars on iTunes, Spotify, Google.
And head to Facebook and like us.
And check out our blog at whereslimonade.org.
Where you can leave questions and comments.
But most of all,
go out and make some lemonade.
You betcha, baby. Yeah.